This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Hour number two here on the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. I'm your host, John Lyons, alongside Jake Hamilton. And, of course, we have Charles Carter producing. It's bowl season, Jake. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I always enjoy these different bowls. I know sometimes they're a little oversaturated. I get it. But I have fun with it. There's usually a lot of compelling matchups that maybe you otherwise wouldn't see. And we're going to get to the college football playoff in the second half of this segment. But we're going to start out talking about some of the other bowls, some of the other matchups. So, Jake, I want to kick it right off to you.
Mm-hmm.
What's a matchup or a game that you're really excited about?
I mean, one of the ones that I'm considering going to, which we were just talking about, it's the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. We've got SMU.
By the way, I'm sorry to cut you off. It is not Wasabi Sauce. That's a technology company.
Yes, no, it's
I
not
found
sponsored
that out.
By...
I went to the Fenway Bowl last year, and I found that out the hard way. I'm like, oh, they're going to have like a bunch of like spicy foods here? And someone's like, no, you idiot, it's a tech company.
Are you serious?
I swear, it's a technology
company. Yeah, it's a
Boston-based. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
Errors have been made on my end. Okay.
Yeah, no, I trust me. I went in there thinking, oh, I'm going to get a Fenway Frank with like hot sauce and wasabi sauce on or something. And then they're like, no, it's a tech company. So and the logo is even like green.
Yeah.
Like wasabi
it
sauce.
It looks like
green,
kind
right?
of a dollop of
yeah.
wasabi.
So, you know, I'm not saying it's fraud. Okay. But it threw me off. And I don't want to blame myself for my stupid mistake. I'd like to blame someone else. But, Jake, I'm sorry I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a fun one to watch. Considering going in person, I think it would be a great atmosphere. Fenway always looks good during the bowls. And, you know, I think these are two teams, actually, that really turned some heads late in the season. It seemed like BC was dead in the water to start the year.
Sure.
And they've really made a big turnaround there. So I think this could be a real fun one. If you're just watching it, I think it's an 11 a.m. game. Just throw it on.
Yeah.
It'll be pretty good.
I agree. 11 a.m. on Thursday, December 28th. I mean, what the heck else are you going to be doing on Thursday, December 28th at 11 a.m.? And I mentioned I went to this bowl last year. Listeners, if you're a BC fan, if you're an SMU fan, but also if you're just a fan of cool venues, going to Fenway for the Fenway Bowl is awesome. And the tickets are pretty affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I think $35 is the lowest price right now to get in, so not too bad. But I highly recommend the Fenway Bowl at Fenway Park. It's just an awesome, awesome environment. I was there last year. I have a prior conflict, so I can't go this year. But every year possible that I can go, Jake, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go every year that I can. It was great. And that leads me into what I'm kind of excited about. And I'm going to get to some matchups in a second. But, like, I'm a huge football fan, but I'm also a baseball fan. And I'm a fan of cool venues. And we have the Guaranteed Rate Bowl is at Chase Field in Arizona.
Mm.
We have the Holiday Bowl between Louisville and USC, which I think is a pretty fun matchup.
Mm.
Is it Petco Park in San Diego, which I went to this past summer?
Mm-hmm.
Second best stadium I've been to in the major leagues, behind only Wrigley Field. That place is freaking awesome, Petco Park is. And I'm a Red Sox fan telling you Petco Park is awesome. Then you, of course, have the Fenway Bowl. And then the Pinstripe Bowl, the same day as the Fenway Bowl, right after the Fenway Bowl, actually, at Yankee Stadium. So we have four really entertaining bowl matchups inside baseball stadiums. And if I left one out, please correct me. But I'm really excited just to see those venues, Jake. Like, I think that's just, again, there's matchups I'm excited about, but I'm also just excited to see those venues host football games.
Yeah. And one of the games that I'm looking at is actually a New Year's Day bowl. It's Wisconsin versus LSU.
Yes, yeah,
so far,
great matchup.
Sneaky great matchup, and I think a sneaky great opportunity for someone like Jaden Daniels to really improve his draft stock. I believe he is still playing in this one. I haven't heard.
As far as I've heard, I'm going to look that up while you keep talking.
I'm
real
pretty
quick.
Sure that he's still going to be playing in this one. It doesn't seem like. Oh, no. He will not be
no,
playing.
No, that just came out in the last 24 hours. Okay.
Well, that's too
but
bad.
But it's still LSU's the number one offense in the country.
It'll
so
make
like,
the game
yeah.
a lot closer, honestly.
Yeah, probably. So I'm looking at December 30th. I'm going to go a couple days back because there are no games on New Year's Eve because it's an NFL Sunday. The Peach Bowl, Ole Miss, 11th-ranked Ole Miss versus Penn State. This fascinates me because Penn State, they played some really tight games against Michigan and Ohio State. Defensively played really well in those games. And then you have this Ole Miss Lane Kiffin offense that I feel like can kind of explode at any time that they want to explode, or at least in any given matchup. So, like, again, this is a Penn State team that, you know, they're holding teams like they shut out Iowa. And I know Iowa sucks at scoring, but they still shut them out, right? Like, I mean, they held Ohio State to 20 points, which I thought was really good. They held Michigan, a great offense, to 24 points, shut out Michigan State. Like, so I thought this is a pretty good defense, but then, of course, I mean, this Ole Miss offense, I mean, we're looking at scores where, like, Georgia blew them out. Mm-hmm. Alabama really held them down. But they have a lot of other games here. Texas A&M, they scored 38 points, 33 points against Vanderbilt. LSU, they scored 55 points against. They beat them 55-49. Against 24-ranked Tulane, they scored 37 points. So I think this, of the non-New Year's Day bowls, might end up being the best bowl game. And the reason I say that is with the Jordan Travis injury at Florida State. I know we get to that.
Yeah.
I have some concerns about how that's going to go. I think this matchup is going to be the best entertainment value-wise of the non-New Year's Day games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And one that, you know, of the kind of New Year's Six that they talk about, the one that I'm not really so sure about, that I don't really understand how this was a poll in a matchup, Oregon and Liberty.
Yeah, this might be like a 45.
This could be a real slog because
and I
also
hate to disrespect Liberty. Mm-hmm. Like, DeMario Douglas is a good young NFL player. Mm-hmm. They have legit talent there, and they have for years. But, like, Oregon was
a borderline playoff team.
They were
had
a possession away from being in the college football playoff.
Exactly.
They're a wagon. I think Liberty, I respect them, but I don't see how Oregon wins this by less than two touchdowns.
Yeah, and Bo Nix is playing in this one. He said on the record, I got this one right, folks. He is going to be playing in this one because his draft stock is looking to improve quite a bit. So I feel like if this is one that you can miss, you should definitely try to miss this one. I don't really see that being a close matchup whatsoever.
Yeah, and December 29th, so I mentioned the December 30th game, Ole Miss at Penn State. The night before, 9th-ranked Missouri versus 7th-ranked Ohio State. Like, look, Ohio State, if not for a close loss to Michigan, would be in the college football playoff. They had multiple top 10 wins this year. They beat Penn State. They beat Notre Dame on the road there. And then you look at Missouri. They beat Kansas State, 15th-ranked team. Close loss to LSU, where we know how great that offense is. Close loss to Georgia. They beat Tennessee. They beat Kentucky. So, like, these, I think, are two teams. Like, I favor Ohio State in this one, but I think this is going to be a really cool test because I think these are two teams going into it feeling disrespected. Like, Ohio State says, yeah, we lost to Michigan, but I bet you Ohio State looks at it and says, you know, we're better than Alabama. We should secretly, oh, we're better than Washington. Mm-hmm. And I bet you Mizzou looks at it like, man, we should have beat Georgia and we might have been in the SEC championship. You know,
right.
Who knows? So I think these two teams are highly talented, really good. But they're going to go in with a chip on their shoulder, and I think that's going to be awesome to watch.
Yeah, it'll definitely make for some must-watch TV. And, yeah, it's just a great time to be watching college football.
I mentioned Georgia-Florida State. I think Georgia wins this one pretty and I'm not saying they're going to win by three touchdowns, but I think this is one where maybe they win by 14, but they control the entire game. Like, they're up by 14 points mostly. I don't know. How do you feel about this one?
Well, our good friend John Ryan, who was just on the program a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this one. He actually believes that Florida State is the smart move to go. He thinks that Georgia's not going to be able to pick themselves up off the mat, not really be able to get motivated for this because they've been playing for such higher stakes in the past, which I think that if you're a bettor, that could be a good opportunity to really root for some Florida State and probably win quite a bit of money.
And I think if you're a Florida State fan, player, coach, if you beat Georgia, you're really going to be pissed about being let out of the college football playoffs. So I bet you some of the members of the committee are secretly hoping Georgia wins this game.
Pretty handily.
So I think so. Let's get to, though, the college football playoff, Jake. Mm-hmm. I want to start Alabama-Michigan. It's a historic matchup, but in its own right now, it's a fun matchup. Michigan's defense, number one in points per game in the country, number two in yards per game. Their offense, though, 14th in points per game, only 67th in yards per game, whereas Alabama, their defense, not as good as we would typically think. Offense, not as either, but their second half of the season, they looked like one of the best teams in the nation. They beat Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I lean Michigan here, but it's really tough for me to count out an Alabama team that just missed Georgia, too.
Yeah.
Just beat Georgia, too, excuse me.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever count out Alabama. The thing that worries me about picking, and I am picking them, Michigan just doesn't play a whole lot of teams that score a lot of points.
I mean, they had a lot of low-scoring wins. Like, they have two top-10 wins, I get it, and they did score 30 against Ohio State, but you're right.
Yeah, Iowa, they just played. The last five games, Iowa, Ohio State, Maryland, Penn State, Purdue. I would say three to maybe four of those teams are not known for scoring
the only offense
whatsoever.
That you mentioned I'm scared of is Ohio State.
Exactly.
In that whole run.
So that's where I wonder if a team like Michigan, if they fall behind early or it's a close game and it becomes a little bit more of a contest than they're used to actually playing at this point in the season, that's where I feel like it could get kind of dicey for them. And a team that's as opportunistic and well-coached as Alabama would be able to, you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah, we saw them last year have a convincing win over Ohio State, but then play way too loose against TCU and lose a game that they probably, I mean, they were the better team. I had no disrespect to that TCU team, but, I mean, they were, I thought, better. And it's funny because I'm picking Michigan to beat Alabama, but in the other game, I have Texas beating Washington, and I feel better about that Texas pick than I do about the Michigan pick.
I actually disagree with you on that one. I'm going with Washington in that one because I think that there's been, and I don't know who was, you know, promulgating this narrative about Texas. But do you know the date that Texas beat Alabama?
Was it September 24th?
September 9th.
I was going to, you know, it's funny. My second guess was going to be September 10th. I was like, it's in that range. All right.
That was over 3 months ago.
Yep.
And they've been riding high. They did
almost 4 months by the playoff.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like, obviously, you know, they came up short to Oklahoma, who was ranked 12th at the time. And then they won out from there. I don't know. The only other good team they beat was Oklahoma State. I feel like Washington is a much, much more battle-tested team.
All right, you know what? That's something to think about. You made some good points there. I still think Texas wins, but you gave me some good points to think about there. Stick with us here on the Diehards. We have John Serenides of the New England Football Journal coming right up next.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Welcome back into the Diehards here on the SportsMap Radio Network. I'm your host, John Lyons, alongside Jake Hamilton. And joining us now is John Serenides from the New England Football Journal. And for those that don't know, the New England Football Journal, they don't just cover the New England Patriots. They cover high school football and college football, including recruiting, all throughout New England. They do a terrific job with it. And if I'm being honest, I'm part of their coverage, at least with the Patriots.
We're a little biased.
I enjoy it. But, John, thanks for taking the time and welcome into the program.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing well, John. And I actually want to start on the college recruiting side of things. Today is one of the national signing days. What was your thoughts on some of the recruiting classes, specifically to BC, that you cover? But were there any others, whether it be in New England, outside of New England, that really stood out to you?
Yeah, well, I think you start there with Boston College. Obviously, Jeff Hafley and his staff have pivoted in regards to their approach. I think when Hafley took over in 2019, he had designs of building this roster at Boston College organically through high school recruiting. And I think he's realized the last couple of years, particularly last offseason, that that's not achievable in this post-COVID college football landscape, that you do need to dip into the portal. They had some good success dipping into the portal last year, getting Thomas Castellanos, Kai Robichaux, and they dipped into the portal again. They brought in six players from the portal, six players that can step in and help them right away, but they also went out and they added about another nine players through the high school ranks that are going to help them as well. So, you know, I think you're going to see them continue to be active in the portal, as will UMass, as will UConn, the other FBS programs in this area, because I think that's just the landscape of college football now. Whether you're an FBS or FCS school, the days of simply traditionally recruiting high school players are over. You have to operate in the portal now to have any chance of being successful. I think the Division I programs around here recognize that.
And shifting maybe a little bit more, John, towards professional football, the Patriots have had a pretty rough go of it this year. But in the spirit of Christmas, which players do you think should be on the Patriots' wish list to re-sign going into 2024?
Well, I think the three of us have talked about this over the course of the past year. I mean, look, Christian Barmore is having an all-pro year. You've got to try to get him under contract early, get him into an extension early. I think Kyle Duggar is another guy that you need to extend. You need to keep him long-term. He can be a part of your core moving forward. I also think Michael Onwenu is a guy that has to be in that conversation as well. You know, we talked about the offensive line and their struggles the last couple of years. He's a guy that if you can re-sign him, maybe you franchise him, it buys you some time to re-sign him. He's another guy that if you can re-sign, you do it because he can play right guard, he can play right tackle. So those are guys that I think, to me, have had good seasons considering how bad the season has been for this franchise in totality. Those are guys that can be a part of your core moving forward, regardless of what you do at the quarterback position and at the skill positions. Guys like that you need to re-sign because they're going to be a part of that core with Judon and Gonzalez and some of these other guys that they view as long-term fit. So my hope is that they start negotiating, obviously, Duggar and Onwenu are free agents after this year. They re-sign them, and that they start negotiating with Barmore now, because if he hits the open market, he's going to have plenty of suitors.
See, you know Jaron Serenides is a big O-line guy, because the first two people he mentions are Christian Barmore on the D-line and Mike Onwenu on the O-line.
That's right.
But John, you're... Hey, I agree with you there, and I think before the Patriots get to that, though, we all know they have a pretty big decision to make at the top of their organization. So you cover this team, you've covered and followed this team for decades. What's your sense of Bill Belichick's future in New England?
I think it's going to be a last-minute call. I know there was some chatter last week that they've already made a decision. They haven't made a decision, in my opinion, and part of the reason is I don't think they have, and the other part of the reason is the Krafts want to control the narrative. That they wouldn't want that out there, even if that is the case. So, you know, look, I think what it's going to come down to is how they finish. They got three games left. They were competitive on Sunday. They lost. They got a chance to maintain that number two pick, but a lot of it will come down to how the rest of this season plays out. If they don't win again, and let's say they finish 3-14, there's a strong possibility Bill Belichick isn't back. But if they, let's say, win two or three, or dare I say even win out, which obviously, realistically speaking, isn't going to happen, then there might be a shot that he comes back. I think what it's going to come down to is this to me. Is he willing to give up his front office role? If he's not willing to give up personnel control, and that's a deal breaker for him, then they're going to move on. If he's willing to give it up and have someone come in, and at minimum he shares that responsibility with them, there's a shot he's back. But, look, I've maintained all along, and, John, you and I have talked about this throughout the season. For me, it's simple. Either you hold on to Belichick and you restructure the front office, or if you can't do it and he wants to move on, then I think you rip the Band-Aid off completely and start over. I would not hire anyone on the staff. I would not hire anyone with Belichick connections. I would start over with the front office and the head coach, start a new direction for this franchise. Because if you don't do that, then you're not really serious about change, and if that's the case, you might as well keep Belichick.
And, John, you were just talking about that second overall pick what the Patriots have control over right now. This might be a dumb question for you, a big Ohio State guy, but given your pick between someone like Drake May or Marvin Harrison Jr., if you had to choose between those two guys at number two, who are you going with?
Oh, I'm taking Drake May. I think he's the best quarterback in this class. And,
really?
And that's
a surprise.
Yeah, that's your number one priority. And look, I'll say this. I think if Jaden Daniels has a good pre-draft process, right now I think he's neck and neck with Caleb Williams for the two spot. I might even give him a slight edge. So for me, look, I think if it comes down to those two players, you take the quarterback. You need that face of the franchise moving forward. You were hoping it was going to be Mac Jones in 2021. It's not. It's time to move on from him. Bailey Zappi's not the long-term answer either. That guy's not in the building. If it comes down to those two guys, you take the quarterback every time. Because, look, I'm not trying to diminish the receiver position here, fellas, but in this age of the spread offense, receivers are being developed at a younger and younger age. They're becoming like running backs in that you can get a quality receiver in any round. Look at the Green Bay Packers with Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jalen Reed. Those guys aren't first-round picks, and they've had good seasons for them. You can develop receivers and get them in later rounds. You take the quarterback if you can get them at two.
All right, John, I've had enough talking about the disappointing Patriots. I need to move on and talk about something else because it is the holiday season after all. One of the under-the-radar stories, I think, of the last few weeks, but I think it's an important one, is Holy Cross head coach Bob Chesney going to James Madison, a team in the process of transitioning to the FBS. What are your thoughts on Chesney and what he can bring to James Madison?
No, I think he's terrific. I'm a huge fan of Bob Chesney. We've been pretty fortunate to cover him at New England Football Journal the last few years. First things first, he's a gentleman. He's a class act. I think he's a terrific football coach, terrific recruiter. James Madison has had a lot of success in their first 2 years at the FBS level. And I think with Coach Chesney going down there, he's bringing some of the staff with him, Dean Kennedy, Drew Kane, and they're going down with him. I think they're going to do a terrific job there. It's an easy school to sell. It's a fertile recruiting area. He's going to develop the relationships with the high school coaches down there and get those inroads going. I think he's going to keep that program at the level it's at and take it to another level. He signed a five-year deal. Look, if he has the kind of success that they've had and we expect him to have out of the gate, I'm not sure he's going to be there 5 years, but James Madison got a good one. That was a home run hire, in my opinion.
And, John, switching back to the NFL real quick here, we saw my punching bag of an NFL head coach, Brandon Staley, go down. He was fired more recently. You also have your own punching bag in Robert Saleh. Do you think that his job could be in jeopardy after the way that this season has sort of started to end?
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing I think in regards to Belichick. I think it's how they finish. And, look, Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, they're tied at the hip. I mean, they're both. They both kind of rely on each other. And here's the thing. If you're the New York Jets, do you really believe next year with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, assuming, do you really believe that only Nathaniel Hackett is the problem and that Robert Saleh can get you to that next level and help you contend? If you really believe that, you stick with him. I have a hard time believing that. I haven't seen anything from him or his staff that leads me to believe that he's the guy that's going to get the Jets to where they want to go. I'd make the change if I were them. I don't think they're going to ultimately. I think they believe in him. They believe in Douglas. I think Woody Johnson wants stability. But, man, I think he, if he doesn't get fired this offseason, I think he's going to be on a short leash, though, because I think it's going to be win or you're out next year.
John, we've got about a minute left here. On Christmas Day, we have arguably one of the most compelling matchups of the entire season with the Ravens and the 49ers. I mean, do you look at these two teams as the two best teams in the NFL, and if this is a potential Super Bowl preview?
Yeah, I do. I think they are the two best teams in the NFL. I think the AFC has been wildly inconsistent all year. You can make the argument that Baltimore has been the most consistent team, even though they've had their moments too. But, look, it's San Francisco and everyone else. This is their year. If they don't win it this year, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan's ever going to win it. I mean, they are loaded, and as long as they stay healthy, I don't see anyone stopping that train. Get off the tracks because they're coming through. I think they're going to win the whole thing. I think, like I said, as long as they're healthy, I think that they're going to win it. The only thing I'll say is this. When you look at the AFC, Baltimore might be the one team that matches up with them. Because the thing with San Francisco is you got to hold up against their physicality. Baltimore might be the only team in the conference that can do that.
Thank you very much, John Serenitas, for joining us. Stick with us here on the Diehards. We have our NFL
Thank
picks coming up next.
Is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Back here on the Diehards. We're going to start our NFL picks in just a moment, but you can switch to Cricket today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 SG. After all, you've been good this year, and they think you really, really deserve it. Smile, you're on Cricket. Jake, have you seen those smartphones that fold?
I actually have. I don't really understand them. Why would we go back to the fold?
Just get a flip phone? Yeah. Like, why not? What I found interesting, I saw a video earlier tonight of the first ever folding TV. So it's the same concept, but think of your 42-inch LCD, LED screen, but it just folds in half like those phones.
To make it smaller?
Is that the worst idea you've ever heard? It's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard.
So you open it up.
It folds vertically. Top folds behind the bottom.
I've never thought that the problem with most TVs was that they were vertically challenged. It was usually the horizontal axis. Yeah. You want to be longer.
I just think they did it just to see if they could do it.
Yeah.
And it's the stupidest thing I've heard of in a long time. Like, I don't want my TV to fold in any way. I want my TV to be large, to be very clear, to have good sound, and for all the freaking channels to work and not freeze my Amazon Prime during Thursday Night Football. But I want my TV to be large and to work and to be clear.
I don't want it
to fold. I don't want it to stand on its head. I don't want it to make breakfast. Don't freaking fold, TV.
So
okay?
I guess that also
Please.
Means you're not a fan of the curve TV.
No.
I'm not a fan of the curve
TV
like
because
curve
you know why,
TV.
Charles? That is like a bridge too far for me. You know, I can have
a
big screen, LED, do it. But a TV with a curve is just, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a TV with a curve to me is like how an average person would react if aliens landed in their backyard, how they'd like gingerly go up to the UFO but not want to touch it but be like, and then if like one bolt fell off the UFO, they'd like run away, be like, oh my God. Like that's how I look at a curved TV. It's
Jerry
just,
Seinfeld is listening and stealing all of these great
yeah,
bits.
Yeah, it's just what's an invention, I'm unsure. But I sure as heck do not want a folding TV. If any of my family members are listening, don't ever buy me a folding TV because you will not be my family member anymore. Hard line. All right. We have some NFL picks to get to, and we're going to watch all these NFL games on our real TVs that don't fold because it's stupid. So let's start. We got kind of a unique schedule this week, Jake, with the Christmas weekend. Of course, it's college football bowl season, too. So we have a regular Thursday night game, New Orleans in the Rams. We'll get to that in a second. We have two Saturday games, a bunch of Sunday games, three Monday games, but it's only one Monday night game. Because it's Christmas Day, we have a 1 o'clock, a 4:30, and an 8:15.
Thanksgiving slate.
Right. So we got kind of a lot of days going on here, a lot of different things. Let's start all the way back. New Orleans versus the Rams. I give credit to the Rams. They're having a much better season than I thought they would. Mm-hmm. Matt Stafford has looked good of late. What are your thoughts on this one, New Orleans versus L.A.?
It's tough. I think that I'm still going to lean with the Rams on this one, even though the Saints are in a position right now. If they win, they would be atop the NFC South.
How about
so
that?
They're a team that's still hanging on for dear life, but I'm still going to go with the Rams on this one at home. Short week. I just feel like they're more likely to get the job done.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams here, and it feels like no one wants to win that NFC South.
No, like, it's a just race whenever, to the bottom.
Like Atlanta had a time where like they could maybe grab a hold of it. Tampa Bay is kind of making some progress, but I don't know. Feels to me like no one wants to win that division, and New Orleans is not going to help themselves when they lose to the Rams tomorrow night. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, this is, look, if Joe Burrow was playing in this game, I would slam dunk pick Cincinnati. Without him, and by the way, this is a Saturday 4:30 p.m. NBC game, I kind of want to lean Pittsburgh here, but then I'm thinking Cincinnati. I don't know. What do you think, Jake?
I'm still going to go with Cincinnati on this one. Jake Browning has been playing really well recently. I like how he's kind of taking control of that team. He brings a lot of energy to them. And also, this is going to be a Mason Rudolph game. Yeah. We're not even going to see Mitch Trubisky. They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel right now at quarterback. Give me the Bengals today.
Yeah, the Steelers are getting Rudolph for Christmas. So, of course, I couldn't. But I'm going to go with Cincinnati, too. Look, Pittsburgh's lost three in a row. And those three losses, Arizona, New England at home on a Thursday night.
Ugly.
And then the Colts last Saturday. Cincinnati's obviously having a disappointing year, but that's more due to injuries. I think they're a better team. I think Pittsburgh's not playing well right now. I like the Bengals here. Buffalo just had a huge win. Oh, by the way, here's another thing that sucks. Buffalo and the Chargers, Peacock-only game. Thanks. You know, not like I wanted
to watch a game.
I'll
share my Peacock with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, hopefully people listening understood the meaning of what you just said.
Yeah, no, don't play that one back.
Buffalo just had a big win over Dallas. They go to L.A. to. Now, this Chargers team, look, they just fired their coach. We've seen a lot of teams get a 1 or 2 week bump after firing a coach. They do have a long layoff because they played Thursday night last week. Do you give the Chargers any hope in this one?
No, just because I think the Bills are too desperate in this one. Yeah. This is a kind of a can't-lose game. It's an opportunity for them to really flex their muscles and then go into those last 2 weeks with a little bit more momentum against New England, Miami. I really see this as being a big, big Josh Allen game.
Yeah, I think so, too, which, by the way, last week against Dallas was a very, very small Josh Allen game. And credit to him and the Bills. Right? James Cook was awesome in that game. Their offensive line was dominant, and they stuck with it, and it helped them get a big win. Look, I think this Bills team, if they're going to make the playoffs, A, this is a game they need to win. But it's also, if they're going to be a real threat, like we've talked about, they don't feel like the big, bad Bills of the last couple years. They made the offensive coordinator change. They look better. But if they're really going to be a team that takes a step and is actually a threat, they have to follow up that Dallas win with a win against a team they're better than.
Exactly.
Like, they have to do that. And I think they do. I think they come in. You mentioned like kind of a desperate team coming in. I think they come in. I think they play really well. I think the Chargers, I know they might have a little bump from a fired coach, but it's tough. You don't want to play the Bills coming off.
And I wonder even if Keenan Allen and guys like that are going to be playing. Who are
Herbert's going to be out too.
Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of injuries there.
Yeah. Moving to Christmas Eve. Start off Colts and Falcons. If you have a spare $21, you can get a ticket to this game in Atlanta. Who do you like in this one?
I'm still going to go with the Colts on this one. Even though they've made the change to Taylor Heinicke at quarterback, the Falcons have, I still feel like Gardner Minshew, to his credit, is leading them right now on the charge. Looks like Jonathan Taylor also is going to play in this one.
Yeah, week too late for my fantasy team, unfortunately. I lost in the playoffs last week. But I agree. I think, especially if Jonathan Taylor plays, and it's too bad because the Falcons have this really fun young core, like Chris Lindstrom on the offensive line, Kyle Pitts, Drake London,
Bijan Robinson.
But they just have no answer at quarterback. Like, if they had a somewhat decent quarterback, I think they could win that division.
If they had Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think they could win that division.
Yeah.
Maybe they will have Mac Jones next year. That's a side note. It's a show for another month. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts here. I think they're playing better. They have better quarterback play. And if Jonathan Taylor's back, I think Atlanta has some trouble containing him. Mm-hmm. Seattle and Tennessee. I think Seattle follows up their Monday night win, and I know they got to go on the road on a short week, but I like Seattle on this one.
No, I do too. I feel like they are finally humming at the right moments right now, especially with how well Drew Lock is playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they're playing well, and who knows, we might get Geno Smith back in this game because he was a game-time decision this past week. Maybe he's back. But honestly, Tennessee, I mean, it's a real disappointment. I mean, I didn't think they'd be that good anyway, but that was a game against Houston. They probably should have won last week. They lose in overtime. Derrick Henry, too. It might be an offensive line thing. He looks like he's lost a step. I hate to say that because he's been such a great player.
Yeah.
He just doesn't look the same. And maybe it is an offensive line issue. Next up, we have America's team, the Detroit Lions, traveling to Minnesota. Who knows who Minnesota's playing at quarterback this week? But, look, Detroit had that huge win last Saturday night. Looked like they're back on track. I think this is a great football team. I was surprised the line was as close as it was when we talked to John Ryan. What are your thoughts on this game?
I'm actually going to go with the Vikings on this one.
Okay.
I feel like, again, Vikings, they're the more desperate team right now. They have the sixth seed right now.
Yeah, they're still hanging. To their credit, they're still hanging around.
Yeah, and I like what Nick Mullins is able to do. He's kind of a gunslinger with Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson kind of playing at where they were at the beginning of the season. I think this is the opportunity for them to, you know, not dethrone, obviously, the Lions atop the NFC North, but I do think it's an opportunity for them to get a step up there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Detroit here. And look, Minnesota, I got to give them credit for, you know, they start out, what, 0-3. They were 1-4, and then they had that winning streak. They beat the Raiders 3-0. Like, they just lost a close one to Cincinnati. The problem for them is they have to play Detroit 2 out of their last 3, and sandwiched in the middle is Green Bay. I don't see them winning all three. I don't see them winning 2 out of 3, maybe 1. I like Detroit in this one. A little extra rest after that Saturday night game. Their offense looks like it's on track. Brian Flores has done wonders with that Minnesota defense. I just think Detroit has a little too much firepower, and Minnesota's not going to quite keep up. So I like Detroit in this one. I'm going to ask you, Jake, do you have a spare $14 in your pocket?
I probably do. Let me check.
Because if you do, you can go to the Jets and Commanders game this weekend, the cheapest ticket of the weekend. Look, the Jets just got smoked by the Miami Dolphins. Washington's on a 4-10 season. I guess Jets, but I don't know.
It's kind of a toss-up. I'm going to go with the Commanders on this one. There's just something about the way that Sam Howell's been playing. I mean, statistically, he's at the top with passing yards and touchdowns, I believe. So, I don't know. I'll trust the quarterback in this one.
Yeah, the Jets are so Jekyll and Hyde. I think you get a good week from them, especially defensively, and they win. Stick with us here on the Diehards. Final segment coming up next. We're going to pick the rest of the NFL schedule right after the break.
Listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and John Lyons.
Final segment here on the Diehards. I'm John Lyons alongside Jake Hamilton. Charles Carter is producing. I'm going to continue with our NFL picks here. We got through about the first half or so of the slate. It's a weird slate with Thursday games, Saturday games, Christmas Eve games, Christmas Day games, but we're going to pick it up with Green Bay traveling to Carolina. Carolina with a
uncharacteristic win.
Yeah. Green Bay going there. Look, Green Bay looks a lot better. Jordan Love looks like he may be the actual franchise QB there. I love Green Bay in this game.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something that I feel like there could be a bit of a letdown for the Packers going down south. I don't know. It's a weird Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. I always feel like teams get a little tight, and the random bad team that's at home ends up winning it. It's how almost happened to the Patriots last year when they were playing the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to go with the Panthers on this one just because I feel like they might have found something, and I don't know, for some reason.
And I will say, in fairness, like, Jordan Love has looked pretty good, but the Packers have lost two in a row, including a loss to the Giants. So, and then that loss where Baker Mayfield was the only opposing quarterback ever to put up a perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field. I still like the Packers in that game, but you make fair points about them. Maybe stumbling a little bit here. Cleveland and Houston, looks like C.J. Stroud will not play in this game. So it'll be Joe Flacco versus, I think, is it Case? No. It's,
Case Keenum, Davis Mills, either one.
Yeah, one of them. One of them. Whoever. But it's going to be a backup for Houston. I love Cleveland in this game, mostly because of their defense.
Yeah, the defense is going to be hard to overcome. If C.J. Stroud was playing in this one, I would obviously take them, but I don't know. I just look at, the way the Browns have been playing. They're a team that's fighting not only for a playoff spot, but again, you win a couple more games, there's a chance, if some things go in the opposite direction with how tough Baltimore's schedule is, they could win that division.
Yeah, and look, Case Keenum, if he's your backup, great, but going up against a Super Bowl-caliber defense, which is what I think Cleveland has, I think that's just too much for him. And look, Joe Flacco threw three interceptions last week, and they still won.
Yeah.
And look, you can't do that every week, but I think that's a testament to their resiliency, his resiliency, but also how good that defense is. I like Cleveland in this one. We talked at the beginning of the show how frustrating Jacksonville is and how concerned they should be. They're going to Tampa Bay, a team that just went to Green Bay and won by two touchdowns. Who do you like in this one?
I like Baker Mayfield and the Bucks.
All right.
There's something about the way that they've been playing. And again, all of these teams who are playing in the NFC South, save for the Carolina Panthers, have a legitimate shot to win that division. So again, this is the kind of game where I feel like there's blood in the water. And right now, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you recognize that and know that you can kind of go for the throat in this one.
Tampa Bay, 7-7. They've won three in a row. And they actually, of all the teams that San Francisco has beat this year, they competed pretty good with them in that game. So, three in a row, I kind of lean towards them continuing it. Jacksonville just doesn't feel right. And to me, it was not just that they lost to Baltimore, who I think is better than them, but the way they lost. Those bad decisions. Like, you had two missed field goals in the first half. You had the Trevor Lawrence fumble. You had the Lawrence bad decision that allowed you, or that prevented you, I should say, from getting a final playoff at the half. Just something doesn't feel quite right. I think long term, they'll be a good team and a contender, but just right now, it just something.
And Trevor Lawrence seems like, based on what I read this morning, still in concussion protocol.
Another great point, yep. So we'll see if he's back at all. Arizona going to Chicago. I like Chicago here, but Kyler Murray has been playing well for Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears on this one. They're at home, cold weather game. It's a, you know, Southwest team that has to go play in the cold. I feel like that's always kind of a recipe for disaster late in the season. And also, I wonder for the Cardinals, you know, they're probably not going to draft a quarterback. I think they're sort of in a self-preservation mode right now where they just kind of want to get through without any more injuries. Whereas the Bears, I think, have a little bit more to play with because they know they're going to have that number one seed.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears here. And the Bears are in a weird spot, too. You mentioned Arizona. There's a chance the Bears might not draft a quarterback either.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't think they will.
They could have two picks in the top five. Mm-hmm. And they can walk away with either a trade down and a bunch more picks or two cornerstone pieces because Justin Fields has been playing really well.
Yeah.
Though it hasn't fully translated into a bunch of wins. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, that Hail Mary should have been caught against Cleveland. But, I mean, maybe they look at it and say, we're going to stick with our...
We could have been 6-8 at this point.
And let's not forget, Justin Fields in his own right was top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're going to stick with... I mean, that's something I think, if you're a Bears fan over the last 3 weeks, that's really worth monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think another game that's really interesting here, Dallas and Miami. Dallas has not played well on the road, as we've documented. Just went up to Buffalo and got smoked. But Miami hasn't beaten a good team this year.
Yep.
Like, you go through, they have 10 wins, but they've not beaten a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've struggled on the road, I lean Dallas here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas in this one, too, just because, again, we really haven't seen the Dolphins beat anyone good. We've been saying that, I think, since, like, September. We've had these kinds of conversations about them, so I just have a feeling that Dallas is going to be able... They're not going to roll, but I think in the end they'll probably pull this one out.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big Dan Quinn game because I think they're going to have to... Look, Miami's going to try to run the ball just like Buffalo did. Can you bottle that up? And then can you play good coverage against that quick passing game? I mean, Stephon Gilmore has played pretty well. Deron Bland, he's got a bunch of pick sixes. In coverage, I think he's been a little bit inconsistent.
Still good.
Can you cover well? And can Micah Parsons play a huge role in this game? I think Dallas can score on this Miami defense, but I think it's a Dan Quinn game. And I think they do bounce back. I think they finally win on the road. And I think it's funny. They're going to answer some of their questions about the road. But then it's like, well, is Miami even that good? Because they haven't beaten a good team. Did you really? It's going to be like, we're going to sit here in a few weeks and be like, I don't know. Last game of Christmas Eve, I bet the schedule makers thought this would be a good one. New England at Denver, two really disappointing teams this year. This has been a tough place for New England to play traditionally. Had a lot of struggles there, even when they were good with Tom Brady. Look, I think Denver is a bunch of frauds, especially on offense. But I think they're better than New England right now.
Yeah. I lean the Broncos, and I'll probably pick them. The only thing that could change my mind, and I hope that the Patriots don't do it as a fan of theirs, I hope they don't play Ramondre Stevenson.
No, I don't think they will either.
But if they do, they have a terrible run defense in Denver. So it could be, if it's Ezekiel Elliott too, I could see some kind of monster game, just them running all over them.
Yeah, let's not forget Zeke 2 weeks ago had a monster game against Pittsburgh. So
140 maybe, yards from scrimmage?
Exactly. So, look, I like Denver in this game. Also, the last 10 minutes of that Patriots-Chiefs game really didn't make me feel good.
No, they were giving up.
I'm not even going to go as far as to say they quit. I think that was an admission by the coaching staff that we are just bad.
Like, yeah,
they didn't
want to
push things. They're just, we're going to try to make some plays and run our offense, but we don't have a lot of faith we can win. Normally on Mondays, we have one game, sometimes two. Jake, this Monday, we have three. Going to start off with Vegas and Kansas City. Kansas City got what I thought was a sneaky, impressive 27-17 win over New England, and that we know New England stinks, but their defense has given Patrick Mahomes a lot of trouble in the past. They came in there, I thought they controlled the game, made New England's, or fooled New England's defense a few times. I like them a lot in this game over Vegas.
Yeah, even though the Raiders just scored 63 on the Chargers, I still don't really think that is an aberration. And so, yeah, give me the Chiefs in this one. I just don't really think that the Raiders are really built to last in a game that could be a shootout with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I like Kansas City a lot in this game, and it has as much to do with their defense as anything else. I think they can totally bottle up.
It's anytime. The strong suit of their team right now.
Yeah, anytime Vegas tries to run, I think they can bottle it up, and I think they can get enough pass rush on Aiden O'Connell to make this just a tough day for the Vegas offense. The Giants at the Eagles, look, the Eagles have been struggling. They're 10-4, which on the surface looks good, but they were 10-1 a few weeks ago.
Yep.
They've lost three in a row. I still think this is a big win for them over the Giants.
Yeah, this is a get-right game. This is a bounce back. I like Tommy DeVito. He's a funny story, but at the end of the day, it just seems like this is the perfect opportunity for the Eagles to kind of rediscover what their identity was, get the defense going, build some confidence, and you know, leave here with 11 wins.
Yeah, and they need it because the way they've been playing, they need to get right. They do not. They're going to make the playoffs. They don't want to limp in and potentially lose the division, right?
Yeah.
This is a game I think they should win. I think they will win, but they really have to win. Final game of the weekend and the best game I think it's going to be, and I think it's a Super Bowl preview, the Baltimore Ravens traveling to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. What are your thoughts on this one?
It is definitely the best game, though. This might be the best game of the entire year, depending on how it plays out, just given the matchup, the stakes, and also how well these teams are playing right now. I'm going to go with the 49ers, though. It's tough to travel cross-country. I like what Lamar Jackson has been able to do, but there's just so many weapons that San Francisco has.
Yeah, Baltimore played on the road Sunday night, traveled home. Now they're traveling all the way to San Francisco for a Monday night game. Not the end of the world, but I think that's a slight edge for San Francisco, who, what, just played in Arizona, which was a short flight. I think San Francisco is just a little bit of a better team, but also the matchup here, Baltimore's defense has been really good. And their offense has been getting better and better, but now this is going to be the best team they faced. The defense has not faced an offense quite like this. I think Debo Samuel has a big game in this one. I also think George Kittle has a big game in this one, because I think Baltimore is going to devote a lot of resources to stopping Christian McCaffrey and trying to slow down Debo Samuel. I think this is a huge George Kittle game. I think San Francisco wins this one.
Yeah, and the only way that I can see, to your point about Christian McCaffrey, the Ravens winning this one, is if we do see Christian McCaffrey get bottled up and it's put on Brock Purdy's shoulders.
All right. That is it for the year 2023 with me and the Diehards. It's been a pleasure. Jake, thank you. Charles Carter, thank you. But stick with us here on the Diehards. We'll be back tomorrow night just with someone else.